This is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
Hello and welcome back. This is the Hot Corner reunion show between Rye Guy and Adam. I'm Ryan McKenna, your host as always, and alongside me is our senior baseball analyst, Adam Connolly, joining us for the first time since preseason. How is it to be back on the show, Adam?
It's been great. Been looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's been a long summer. Not going to lie. For me, at least. What about yourself?
No, lots going on. Busy summer, for sure. Went by too fast.
Yeah, that is true. Anyways, we got the next Adam Dunn upstairs, but in the meantime, we're going to talk some postseason baseball, guys. We're going to give you a preview of the ALDS and the NLDS, the Twins, Yankees, Phillies, Reds, Rays, Rangers, and Giants, as well as the Atlanta Braves, are all going for a playoff position, looking to get into the championship series. We're going to start it off with the ALDS and the Minnesota Twins versus the New York Yankees. Here it is. So the AL Central winning Minnesota Twins managed not to have to play a tiebreaker game in 2010, which is first occurrence in a couple years.
Detroit there last year in that great game.
Exactly. That was a classic with Orlando Cabrera that won it for them.
Yeah, that's right.
The Twins have had a great season to date and look to keep their regular season success going in the playoffs. With that said, they struggled down the stretch, winning only twice since September 24th. The New York Yankees are a bit in the same boat as the Twins. They lost a close division race to the Tampa Bay Rays and really struggled down the stretch as well. They lost 9 games in 2 weeks, which cost them in the division race. So, Adam, I got a couple questions for you regarding this series. First off, let's talk about Justin Morneau. On Monday, he announced that he would miss the entire postseason with post-concussion syndrome. Now, I know exactly what Morneau's going through, and it must be extremely tough to miss out on the postseason. With this being his second year that he's missing, is it going to play a key factor in the Twins' success or non-success in this postseason?
Well, losing a guy like Morneau obviously is going to make a big difference. He's, he was having one of his best years statistically before he got hurt. So he's definitely a big bat to be missing out of the lineup. There's no question about that. But with that said, the Twins got it done without him last year to get into the playoffs. They got it done without him this year to get into the playoffs. And in fact, I believe they had the best record in the second half of the season without him. So, they proved that they could play without him. So while he definitely, obviously they would rather have him in the lineup, the fact they've played without him as much as they have, it's been since I think July 6th or 7th. So, they know how to win without him. So it'll be a big loss, but nothing they can't overcome, I don't think.
Exactly. Okay. So let's move our questions down to the Yankees. They struggle a lot down the stretch, as I mentioned earlier, but they are the defending World Series champs. We can't take that away from them. What is the Yankees' key to success in this series?
Their key, as far as I'm concerned, is their pitching staff. After CeCe, they really struggled coming on the year. Hughes had a good year overall, but the last couple of months he struggled. Pettit, it's hard to say what he'll be like. He's obviously been a great playoff performer in the past, but he's only had a couple of starts after missing, a large chunk of this season as well. So, if those guys can step up, then the Yankees will have a lot of success. But if they pitch like they did down the stretch, then the Yankees, they might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially if they happen to lose one of Sabathia's starts, then they're really behind the eight ball. They basically need Sabathia to win every game he pitches and hope to get decent pitching from the rest of the guys.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's stick on that topic of pitching. A.J. Burnett and Javier Vasquez, Burnett was, I guess this is his second year with the team, and Vasquez, this year, they've been sort of bust. I'm not going to lie, they've been sort of busty. Is that even a word? Busty? they haven't really had success, let's say that much. So, do you see them playing any role in this series at all, or are they just going to be riding fine?
Well, I heard today that Burnett is not going to be part of the rotation for at least the division series. If they were to move on, I would have to think they'd need a fourth starter in the NLCS, which I think would be him. But yeah, both guys were brutal this year. Vasquez had his first stint with the Yankees was terrible. He went over to the NL and dominated, and came back and was terrible again. So I don't know whether that is, you know, has to do with the difference of the lines between the American League and National League, or whether this guy just can't play in a city like New York. But yeah, he was terrible, and Burnett, I think, was 10-15 with an ERA over 5. You know, this guy getting paid $16, $17 million a year, definitely a bust. So I don't know. If I was a Yankee fan, I'd be awfully nervous seeing either of those guys come into the game, whether it's to start or in relief. So I doubt you'll see either one of them.
Yeah. And while we're on talking about Vasquez, his velocity has been dropping more than Kenny Powers. Oh, Kenny Powers. Watch them on HBO.
Vasquez is out.
Yeah. He's effing out. We won't say the full word, but he's effing out. Okay, so back to the Twins now. Michael Goddard, he's my big guy to step up for them. Would you agree with that, or who would be your guy to step up for this team against the Yankees?
Well, it would probably be Goddard. Another guy, obviously, to focus on would be Joe Mauer, who coming off the MVP season. Definitely had a down year this year. He's battled some injuries and just wasn't quite himself this year, although still hit over 300. So between those two guys, they'll definitely have to carry the load. Another guy offensively would be Delmon Young. He came up a few years ago as a top prospect and didn't really blossom into it until this year. His power didn't quite develop, but had a lot of RBIs and hit the ball a little better. So Minnesota's going to have to do a lot of small ball stuff. They have a lot of base hits. They don't have a lot of big thumpers in there. So they're going to need those guys, especially to carry the load offensively.
All right. So that brings us to our predictions for this series. I'll go first. I'm picking the Yankees in 5, but their bullpen has to be lights out. I mean, if they can get the ball to Rivera in the 9th, then it should be lights out. Jabba and Kerry Wood, I think they need to be big too in this series for the Yankees to succeed. What about yourself?
I would have to agree. I would pick the Yankees in 4. I think that based on the Yankees pitching staff, this might be a year where they might be ripe to get upset.
Yeah.
But it just seems over the last number of years, even back when Johan Santana was around, just Minnesota cannot get past the Yankees.
Yeah.
It's as much mental as anything. This year now they do have home field advantage.
Yeah.
Where in years past they haven't, but I don't think Minnesota can hang with them. I'd take the Yankees in 4.
It's like the Red Sox and Angels. The Angels can never get past the Red Sox for quite a few years.
Although they did last year, so hopefully maybe that means the Twins can get past New York this year, but I would be surprised.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on now to the Tampa Bay Rays against the Texas Rangers. So the AL East champion Tampa Bay Rays will take on the AL West winning Texas Rangers in the other ALDS matchup. The Rays played well down the stretch and received key contributions from a number of guys, which has made them so successful since they called themselves the Rays. Now, the Rangers, on the other hand, they had their ups and downs in September/October. They had a record of 15-13, but they went on an 8-game losing streak, but they also had 3-4-game losing streaks after those winning streaks. So I guess that brings us to, I mean, it's definitely the Rays that are coming in here hotter than the Rangers. What's going to be the key in this series for either team to succeed?
Oh, I think of the 4 series, this is going to be the most fun to watch. I think the Rangers, while they did struggle kind of in September, you know, they've had this division locked up for 2 months for the most part.
Yeah.
Not mathematically necessarily, but they've had a huge lead all year. So they didn't have as much to play for, whereas the Rays really were battling. You know, they've known they were going to be in the playoffs, chances are, for a little while, but still battling to win the division. So I think they had a little more to play for. But I don't know, down the stretch, I think this series is going to be tight. I think pitching, obviously, is going to be huge.
Yeah.
This Game 1 matchup tomorrow with Price against Cliff Lee could be something fun to watch. There's no doubt about that.
Could be a dandy.
Tampa Bay are interesting. They've had great pitching all year, although, you know, a couple of their guys, Shields and Garza, both struggled in September. So if those guys don't pick it up, they could be in trouble. But pitching is normally where you would think they'd have the advantage. Obviously, a big thing for Tampa, too. They didn't have Evan Longoria for the last week or so of the season with an hamstring injury. So they definitely will need him to be 100% or else they could be in trouble.
Do you know his status entering this
last I heard, he's going to play. They kind of sat him out the last week or so to make sure that he was ready to go, and he is going to play. Now, whether he's 100% or not, I'm not sure, but as far as anything I've seen is that he's going to lace them up for tomorrow's game one.
And Connolly just did get off the phone with Buster Olney, so this is up to date, folks. As up to date as you're going to get. Another thing for the Rays is the lack of hustle during this year. We've seen it earlier in the year with B.J. Upton and Evan Longoria. They sort of had that little tussle. Sure. And then last week, Carl Crawford, he was a little lackluster getting to a ball. I mean, he did make up with it with a home run. But is this going to – I mean, if they start losing, do you think this will come back? Or are they going to be set for the playoffs hustle-wise?
I would have to think in the playoffs they'll be set. I think in the back of their minds they probably know that despite having a young team, this could be the last good run that they have for a little while, just because with Crawford and Pena and Soriano, yeah, free agents, their free owners agents, already said exactly. That they're probably going to have to lower payroll, so chances are all those guys are going to be gone. So, you know, while they got Price, Longoria, some of those guys locked up, this might be the last time with the full roster they have. So I think they'll be focused. You know, whether or not they win is another thing, but I don't think hustle will come down to, you know, be a factor. I would hope not anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, let's hope not.
If you're going to have issues with hustle in the playoffs, then, you know, you don't deserve to be there to begin with.
No. But, I mean, Joe Maddon has done a good job with that team, and I think that'll continue as well. Let's move on to the predictions. I went first last time. You go ahead this time.
Well, I think... this one's really tough, and this a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to take the Rangers in five games. I think that Lee can win a couple of games. I think a guy, you know, CJ Wilson had a really good year.
Yeah.
Tampa's offense can kind of disappear if Longoria's not 100%. You know, they really rely on him and Crawford. So if Longoria's not there, or not as himself, they may struggle. Whereas Texas just got Hamilton back.
Yeah.
They got Nelson Cruz in there. Vladdy's had a good year. They got a little more thump there in the lineup, I think. The bullpens, you know, are similar. I'd probably give the edge to Tampa, but I don't know. I think this will be a great series to come right down, but I'm going to go with the Rangers in five games.
I'm going to have to agree with you. It's not going to be a four or three game series, or if it is, we look terrible, just like our season predictions. But no, it's definitely going to be in five games, and I'm going to have to go with you as well in this one. The Rangers, they've just had the advantage in my mind all year. They've been consistent. They've had, I mean, Vladimir Guerrero, no one expected, he didn't sign till late in free agency, and no one really expected too much from him, but he did produce. It was sort of a bit of a loss getting Justin Smoke out of their lineup, but they seem to have overcome that, and they have a good overall lineup. So both of us picking Rangers in five. Moving on now to the NLDS. Let's start off with the Cincinnati Reds against the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies have been hotter than Megan Fox. They have just been smoking hot down the stretch, winning almost every game, it seems, for the last two or three weeks. I don't know what it was. They struggled earlier in the year, and now they're back hot again to the team that everyone really expected them to be. Why do you think that is? Do you think they just gelled more down the stretch than they did at the start of the year?
Well, I think partially. Part of the year, too, we have to remember that they were hit with the injury bug. Chase Utley missed some time. Jimmy Rollins missed quite a bit of time. So, you know, they had some injuries there as well. Howard missed a few games, and Victorino was out. But, even when those guys were playing, they weren't quite playing up to their standards. But, man, are they ever playing good now? Then you throw in that, you know, since Oswald came along, he's been pitching really well. Hamels has really tore up the second half. And, of course, you got Halliday, who threw 250 innings, I believe. So, this team is stacked. There's no doubt about it.
Hamels was the question mark. I mean, he has been the question mark since his good season a couple years ago. He's really turned it on. You have the big three of Halliday, Oswald, and him. And then you got Blanton on the side in case they need him. I mean, we'll get to our predictions in a minute, but I just can't see anyone or beating them. I mean, if there was any team to beat them, it'll be the Cincinnati Reds because they've had a really good year. Canadian Joey Votto has had an MVP-like season, and they've got contributions from their young guys. Johnny Gomes is one guy, the rotation, Edison Volquez, Arroyo, all those guys have been really good. How would you evaluate the Reds' season going into the postseason?
The Reds have had a good year. It's been a while since Cincinnati made the playoffs. It's nice to see the Canadian boy of Ottawa have a good year. Definitely think he's the MVP. Him and Pujols kind of were duking it out all year, but the fact that they made the playoffs, I think, definitely has got to push it in Votto's favor.
Yeah.
But that being said, a stat that a lot of people aren't aware of, Cincinnati really took advantage of their division and beating up on the bad teams, which is what good teams need to do. They need to beat the bad teams to get there, but their winning percentage against teams with winning rosters this year was like 340. Like, it was really poor. So, it's
going to be a big test for them.
It'll be a big test. It's nice to see, a new team in there. The Cardinals have been there for the last few years, so it's definitely nice to see a new team in there. But I really think that Cincinnati's backs are against the wall here this series.
If they are to succeed, in my mind, it's going to have to be, this is a really young team, like we mentioned, and most of these guys, probably three quarters of their team, are making their first postseason appearance. One guy who hasn't, though, is Bronson Arroyo, winning a world championship with the Red Sox back in 2004. How is his presence in the clubhouse going to help the Reds?
Well, he'll definitely be a help because, like you say, they just don't have a lot of guys in their playoff experience. So to have a guy that's been there, been through the grind, was there when the Red Sox came back against New York. So if Cincinnati happens to fall behind, he'll be an emotional leader that can kind of, get the guys going, realize that no deficit is too powerful to overcome. So he'll definitely be an advantage. Hopefully he does well on the mound as well. But, in the clubhouse, he'll definitely be a strong voice, I would think.
Time now for our predictions. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to be, might not be such a bold choice, but I'm going to go Phillies in a sweep. Phillies, 3-0. You?
I was going to say the very same thing, and I don't think it's being bold at all. I would be shocked if Cincinnati wins a game, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see all three games in blowouts.
Yeah.
I just, Phillies, like you say, when you got the three-headed monster as a pitching staff, mm-hmm. Edinson Volquez is the kind of guy who's got the talent and the stuff to really have a good outing, but he's also the type of guy that could go out and give up seven or eight in the first inning. So, even a guy like Halliday doesn't have the playoff experience, but I think, he's been through so much that that's not going to be a big deal for him.
No.
The Phillies batting lineup, when you throw Otley, Howard, Rollins, all these guys in there, I think it'll be a blow. I'd be surprised if there's even a game that's real, real close. I don't think they'll win by seven or eight runs every game, but I think they'll be, two or three run winners pretty much every time out.
Just a side question for you. Dominic Brown, rookie, entering the postseason. Do you think he's going to play any factor in any of these series, or is he going to be more under the belt, whereas guys like Howard and Utley are going to dominate the spotlight?
I don't think you see a whole lot of Brown. I think he's there to kind of get some experience, but they've got a very solid outfield with no DH in the National League. You're just not going to sit Worth or Victorino or Ibanez. Yeah. So he'll get a few at bats, maybe pinch hit rolls, maybe pinch runs. So he could definitely give some input there, but he's not going to have a big role, I wouldn't think, barring an injury.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to the other NLDS series, the final series we're looking at. San Francisco Giants, led by Pablo. And the Atlanta Braves, Bobby Cox's last season, he got a brand new Lexus car. He's going into San Francisco in style. Now, the only thing is the Giants are riding hot. They played really good ball the last couple weeks to win the NL West. Do you think that's going to continue going into this series?
It's possible. Kind of like the Tampa Bay Texas series, I really think this is going to be a good one. While I obviously feel fairly strongly that Philadelphia is going to have it their way with Cincinnati, I think the opposite as far as this series goes. I don't think either team has a huge advantage.
No.
San Francisco is definitely going in fairly hot. They did lose those two games to make the division race interesting there last Friday and Saturday, but they have a very good team. There's no doubt about it. So this one's going to be tight. I think this will be a five-game series either way.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing as you. It's probably not going to be, as good of a series to watch as the Rays and Rangers, but it's going to be that closeness level at least. Now, we were just talking about Dominic Brown, the rookie. Jason Hayward is another rookie. He's had a great season, potential NL Rookie of the Year. Will he be effective in this series, or do you think it's going to be the guys like Marta Prado and Derek Lee that are going to play the bigger roles?
Well, I think he'll have a big role. It's actually interesting that the two Rookie of the Year candidates with him and Buster Posey are probably going to be going against each other here. So, no, I think Howard could have an impact. I mean, it's hard to say. He could go in as a rookie and go 0-19 in the series, but I don't think it would shock anyone if he batted 500 with a few home runs either. So, you know, he's definitely got the talent to do it. Unlike Brown, he's a full-time player, so he's definitely going to be in the lineup. So, yeah, he could definitely make an impact. I think Atlanta's going to need him to if they're going to move on.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Now, I guess sort of the question mark, Biggio didn't have too great of a start there the other day. The Giants starting rotation, how do you see it succeeding? And what would be your three pitchers to look out for?
Oh, yeah, I think that it comes down to the Giants rotation. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if Zito will even get a start, to be honest. I mean, it's definitely going to go Lincecum, and then Kane and Sanchez are the top three for sure, depending on how it goes. If they're up 2-1, maybe they throw Zito out there as the fourth starter, but he did struggle down the stretch. And Madison Bumgarner did quite well as a rookie, so you never know, they might even give him a start. But I don't know, I think it's definitely going to come down to the rotation. Those three guys are dandy. If you bring Lincecum and Kane back on short rest, you're in a world of hurt if they can handle the short rest. But yeah, San Francisco's definitely going to need that rotation. I just don't know if Zito's going to have much of a role in it.
That is true. And I seen him in Toronto, and now he's not even going to be in the playoffs.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Although he did almost throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, he had a much better year than he's had in the past. There's no doubt he struggled down the stretch a little bit.
He got off to a great start. I think he was 7-2 at one point, and then he went on a giant losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Prediction time. I'll go first. This is a tough one, I'm not going to lie, but I think Buster Posey is going to play a big role. I mean, he's a rookie, but we've seen that in the final game of the season. He hit the key jack to put them ahead and give them that insurance run. I think it's going to be a game or a series that's going to be decided in five. So I'm going to go Giants in five.
Yeah, I agree with the series length. I definitely think it's going to be five games. And I really think you could almost flip a coin. I think all these, for the most part, these games are going to be low scoring. Neither team has great offense. The Braves really struggled offensively. But with all the talk, the Giants pitching staff, the Braves with Lowe, who's had a pretty good year and has great playoff success. And then Tommy Hansen and Tim Hudson is a pretty solid rotation as well. So I think it's going to be a lot of low-scoring games. And I think I'm going to actually take Atlanta in five. I wouldn't be shocked if it went either way. But I think Atlanta might have enough, a little more veteran leadership to pull them through.
All right. So some very interesting picks by both of us. Hopefully they pan out. While I'm here, I might as well give Adam a bit of love. He was the Island Fantasy Baseball League champion this year for the third year in a row. Adams Dirt Dogs, led by Johnny Lester, to name one of many stacked team. And congratulations, Adam. You definitely deserve it. And I might steal some of that money. Who knows?
Well, thanks very much. I definitely had a pretty good team, and well, hopefully things will continue again next year.
Oh, absolutely. No, and thanks again for joining me on this preview of the divisional series. Will you join me for the championship series?
Absolutely, no problem at all.
Sounds good. So that's when you'll next hear from us, guys. I might throw in a blog post or two, depending on how school is going.
Gotta put the books first, my friend.
GED, guys. GED. Three-letter word. Gets you every time. All right, guys, so thanks again for tuning in. I'm going to lead you out with an NHL song. I know, this is an MLB podcast, but NHL season's starting up here soon. But it is also a good pump-up song for the playoffs. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you for the championship series. Have a good one.
The Hawk Corner is a presentation of Sports Superstation. This show was written, directed, and produced by Ryan McKenna. Editing and technical director is Matthew McKenna. Marketing department and assistant technical director is Mitchell McKenna. Engineer, Patrick McKenna. Senior baseball analyst, Adam Connolly. See you next week. Hey,
of attention. Music to party, music to dance. The new follow up of public demand. Slick as five, the loud megaphone. Take you down to the Twilight Zone. The sound. You want more? More you get. We're too limited in effect. Check off the sound and stop this distortion. When you think it's finished, here's another portion. Just lay back as we take control. Take you down into the Twilight Zone. Listen to the jam as we go wild. Check your MC, it's game versatile. Me and a lady, all megaton.